This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Being a loyal listener is like being part of an exclusive club. Or a really weird cult. A tradition better than Sunday dinner with the family. Coming to you live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Gotta love it. It's always fun hanging out with you. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. My friends from Rocket Mortgage are waiting along for you. We got a lot of people that will still want to get in at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Should you choose to take part in it and get involved in the conversation on our phone lines. Barton Simmons covers college football for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. We'll have a discussion coming up around 20 minutes past the hour on how dangerous is Notre Dame to Trevor Lawrence and Clemson's chances to win, because Trevor Lawrence isn't going to play. They're not playing next week. I'm of the opinion that it doesn't matter at all. The game, it's going to be hyped up all week long. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter at all. If Notre Dame beats Clemson without Trevor Lawrence and then loses to Clemson with Trevor Lawrence in the ACC title game, they're not going to the college football playoff. They're not going. Because when you beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence, it's going to have a giant, it's got a giant stain on it. Giant stain. By the way, that stain's not coming off. It's not. You're not going to be able to convince people that, oh, no, it really was a big win. This really was an absolutely big win. No, it wasn't. Let's be honest. Come on now. Okay. Another story for you. Have you ever seen someone in life, they're highly successful at one thing, then they are a little less successful when they try to do something else? They don't have the same level of success doing something else. They were really, really good at something. Then they try something else and they sort of stink at it. And then everybody thinks, you know what? We got to get them back doing what they got before. We got to get them back doing what they did before. We got to make sure that this is the kind of guy we need to hire. Now I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh and what he's got going on right now. Because Jim Harbaugh is supposed to be really, really good. I mean, right? He's really, really good. He was a really good college coach. Very good college coach. Not a very good, you're supposed to believe that, right? No, it never works out that way. He rocks it with San Francisco. He rocked it at Stanford. So you're thinking he's going to be really, really great when he gets to Michigan. And he's not. I don't know what the difference is. I honestly do not know what the difference is. You're a really, really good college coach at Stanford. You're a really, really good professional coach with the 49ers. But then you just sort of fall apart at Michigan. And yes, you have fallen apart at Michigan. They've absolutely has fallen apart. Not working. Doesn't work. What's that about? And more importantly, how can that be? How can you be a really, I mean, at Stanford, he was an incredibly, I mean, he did a really impressive job at Stanford. And, but he gets to, you find him and he gets on to Michigan and things just don't, they just don't work out. At Michigan, they're not working out for him. And it's continual. It's absolutely continual. Nothing's changing. He's supposed to be really, really good. He's not. He's supposed to turn things around. He's not. He's given opportunity after opportunity, and nothing seems to change. Why is that? What's the deal? What's the deal with Jim Harbaugh? That's what Jerry Seinfeld will be asking. What is the deal? What's the problem? Why does it not work? How could this possibly be happening to him? Because nobody gets more hype. Nobody gets talked about more than Jim Harbaugh. Nobody got more hype upon their arrival that Jim Harbaugh was going to be changing things forever for Michigan football. Didn't really work out that way. He is a guy who has underachieved terribly. And I don't understand how you go from being really, really good one place and really, really good somewhere else. And you've been really, really good in college. You've been really, really good in the pros. But right now, if you don't believe that he is over his skis at Michigan, what's it going to take to convince you? What more is it going to take to convince you? What do you need to know? What do you need to see? Because if you can't figure it out now, can't figure this out, that he's not prepared right now to turn this thing around for Michigan, I think you're not paying attention. And for Jim Harbaugh, that should be unacceptable. That should really be unacceptable. Are we talking about Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson? Of course we are. Because Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson are the teams most deserving of our belief system right now. They're the ones we should believe. They're the ones we should believe in. They're excellent. And they've done an amazing job. They're the teams that continually are showing us, yeah, believe in us. You got to believe in us. We're the team that is showing you can count on us. You can believe in us. We're Alabama football. We're a brand. You can count on us. We are a brand that works. Or you can count on Clemson football, and you know it. You know it's going to work. You know Clemson football is going to work. And Ohio State's right there. Now, they're not at the level of accomplishment of Alabama and Clemson, but they certainly look like they belong in that conversation. So who's the fourth team that belongs? And that's my sort of rambling way to get there. Who's the fourth team that belongs? Is it Notre Dame? By the eye test, I say no. And every time that I've seen them in the college football playoff, they sort of reinforce that belief to me. That's what they tell me. I can believe that in much of nothing when it comes to Notre Dame. Who's the fourth team that belongs? Who belongs in that discussion? And I'm just saying to you, who belongs in the discussion to legitimately play where you could say, team, whatever you say, team fill in the blank, in consecutive weeks could beat Ohio State and Clemson. In consecutive weeks could beat Clemson and Alabama. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the college football playoff doesn't even need to be four teams. It needs to be just to even it out. But there's no fourth team that you're going to give me that is going to legitimately have the argument to say, yes, in consecutive weeks, we can go and beat Clemson and Alabama in back-to-back weeks. We can beat Ohio State and Alabama in back-to-back weeks. Ohio State and Clemson in back-to-back weeks. Folks, that isn't happening. You know it's not happening, and I know it's not happening. Yet every single year, we have the people banging the drum. It's not a drum. It's sort of a door. Banging the drum to say the college football playoff needs to be expanded. No, it doesn't. It absolutely does not need to be expanded. Tell me the team that legitimately could beat those, could beat two of those teams in consecutive weeks. You tell me who that team is. And I'm going to tell you, hooked to a lie detector, you know you're lying. You absolutely know that you're lying. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. You can join us on the show. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. You know what's scary? Finding out that you've been paying too much for car insurance all these years. You've had every opportunity to get yourself a much better deal by just dealing with my friends from Geico. So check them out. They do really, really good work, and they're looking for your business right now. They're trying. They're doing everything to be business friendly to you. So get in touch with them and find out how much you could be saving and get yourself down to business. I am fascinated at the conversation that has been going on, especially as of late, where people are saying, well, it's a disgrace that the NFC East winner is going to get a home playoff game. It's a disgrace. That should never happen. Shouldn't happen. They need to change the rules in the NFL. Sort of like the Electoral College folks. Very, very similar arguments. Now we got to change the rules. Well, now, do we really? Do we really got to change the rules? Right now, if you're looking at it, the Eagles are leading the NFC East, and every one of the teams in the NFC East all added together, they have 7 wins. They got 7 wins amongst them, which is pretty terrible. In fact, top 2 teams in the NFC North have 10 wins. Top 2 teams in the NFC South have 9 wins. Top 2 teams in the NFC West have 10 wins. 10, 9, 10, 4. It's abysmal. Absolutely awful. But talking about stripping teams of home playoff games is extremely premature. Way premature. Way too early to be talking about it. For one thing, does the regular season have to mean something or not? Are we playing this game like, does the regular season have to mean something or not? It's supposed to mean something, right? You're supposed to be playing for something. You're supposed to be playing to have the opportunity to not only be the best team in your division, but to have a home playoff game. So what everybody should do is they shouldn't be scared, right? There should be no reason to be scared, right? The Eagles right now would play the Bears in a home playoff game. Anthony, truth serum. The Eagles are playing in January in South Philadelphia at home against the Chicago Bears. By the way, Carson Wentz versus Nick Foles. How awesome would that game be?
I think the Eagles could win that game.
So do I. The Eagles play the Arizona Cardinals. Come into South Philly in January. Let's say the Eagles are 7-9-1. Could the Eagles win that game?
I think they can.
They could, sure. They could win that game. I mean, people are like, they should never have this. It just isn't fair. I love the fairness stuff. Olivia knows the listening ears are off when she says that. If she ever says, this isn't fair, she knows the listening ears go off. I stop listening. So I'm like, not listening anymore. So figure out, let's have an adult conversation. It's not supposed to be about fair. Everything's not fair in life. Let's learn that. John in South Carolina knew that long ago. John, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you, brother?
Hey, John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. What's going on?
Hey, well, I'm a Wisconsin fan, so it would have been interesting to see how the Badgers would have did this year with them coming out of the gate so fast. I think they could have been one of the fourth team. But,
really? Do you think they could have, though, could they, as the fourth team, in consecutive weeks, beaten Alabama and Clemson? Or Alabama and Ohio? It wouldn't be Ohio State. Let's say Alabama and Clemson.
Yeah, Come on.
You'd have to be crazy to think that. I at least I believe.
Yeah. But the one thing I wanted to say is I saw in the news this morning that big brawl in that college game happened after their quarterback got hit. And
which, by the way, was not a dirty. It wasn't a dirty hit.
Well, they just roughed up their quarterback.
Correct.
And I just,
right.
I hate Dallas, and I think Dallas Cowboys should take a little note from that and learn that after Andy Dalton took that hit, maybe they should have created a little brawl themselves.
You mean just create a little camaraderie? Answer it.
Yeah.
Stand up for your teammates.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you should stand up for your teammates and everything. I don't like the contrived brawls, though, and everything. Where everyone's going to bow up. And I mean, look, if you want to have a brawl, have a brawl. Have a real brawl. And when guys are in helmets and they're in helmets and padding and they're trying to play like Billy Badass, give me a break. You're totally safe. I'll stand up wearing a helmet. I'll stand up. You're going to punch me. You're going to break your hand. That's fine. Take all the swings you want. I'm wearing padding too. Yeah, that's okay. Nothing looks more stupid than that. Really does. Absolutely stupid. Trying to do that. Barton Simmons isn't stupid. He knows his college football. And he joins us next right here. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. Always serve football with a side of strong opinion. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Something about that theme makes the hair on the back of the neck stand up a little bit. It always means there's going to be something good and exciting to see. John Kincaid Show, always good and exciting too, here on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have Barton Simmons get up early with me today. If you were not joining me on the show, Barton, when would you have put foot on the floor this morning on a normal Sunday if you didn't have anything going on?
I've got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 3-month-old. So, brother, I am up early. No worries here. I've been up for a while.
So the time change, you did not get the extra hour sleep.
No, I'm not sure where that helps me. I haven't quite done the math on that, but I'm still waiting to figure that out.
5, 3, and 3 months?
That's right.
You know, you and your wife could play board games or something. I mean, I'm just saying.
I believe you me. That is the plan moving forward.
You could have another hobby. I'm just saying.
We are locking it down, brother.
Yeah, see, that's the way it works. All right, talk about locking it down. I gave this scenario out a couple minutes ago. I said, look, let's be honest. Let's have a real candid conversation. I give you Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State right now. And I was asking people, you know, it's not who the fourth team is going to be. But I was saying to them, what team right now can you try to make a case for me could take that fourth spot and in consecutive weeks be able to defeat Clemson and Alabama, Ohio State and Alabama in consecutive weeks? Because I'm here to tell you, Barton, there isn't a team that in my wildest dreams could pull that off, that could sit in that fourth seat.
I first of all, I agree with you, but I will try to make the case.
Okay.
And here's what I'm going to go with. It's the same team that it's been. It's the same team that continues to kind of be a little bit of a scary first rounder, the same team that we don't think can win it, but is dangerous, and it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma just absolutely beat the brakes off of Texas Tech, and that's no big deal. But they got a bunch of guys back from suspension. They've got a redshirt freshman quarterback that was the number one quarterback in the country in the class of 2019. The offense is sort of starting to find its way with true freshman wide receivers like Marvin Mims. The defense has improved. I think they're probably the best team in the Big 12. I agree that there is a huge gap between the top three and everyone else But I've just seen what this OU offense can look like when they really get rolling. And there's some indications maybe they're starting to get rolling. So, again, I'm not claiming that OU is at that level, but I am saying that if you're one of those three teams, I could see a scenario in which that is not an Oklahoma team you're excited to play come January.
But we can't let a two-loss team in, right?
Well,
you can't, right?
They may not even get in. Agreed.
Let them in, though. We can't let two-loss teams in, can we?
What's our alternative? Because there's going to be, Georgia's going to have two losses when Alabama sweeps them. No one else in the SEC is going to really be a candidate. The ACC, I guess, our best case maybe would be something like a Notre Dame, but they'll probably have two losses too because they're playing Clemson. They'll have to play Clemson again. I guess you go like no one in the Big Ten even really looks capable at this point other than Ohio State. So the only other alternative there is does someone get out of the Pac-12 with like whatever the six games they're playing and look playoff worthy. I guess that's a possibility, but I do think that the playoff committee is all about the eye test and it's all about the narratives and it's all if Oklahoma does start, if they win the Big 12 and if they look like a totally different team at the end of the year, and if a lot of those guys that were suspended are a big part of their success in the back half of the season, I could see a scenario where the playoff committee says, you know what, two losses, who cares? That is the fourth best team. Let's get them in there.
Did you think anything of the Oklahoma State yesterday? That to me was absolutely just throw it all away. I mean, just they threw that game away. I still can't understand it. I can't understand it at all.
No, I was talking about this last night on my podcast, and like I think that if you're Oklahoma State, it's frustrating, it's disappointing. Sure, you still could be in the driver's seat for a playoff berth, and yet I almost think that is the result you'd rather have if given the alternative of, look, because they're the better team, they outplayed Texas, they just kind of gave it away, right? And a kick return touchdown, bunch of turnovers, just handed it to Texas on a platter. I would rather be sitting here, if I'm Oklahoma State, saying, you know what, we are still the best team in the Big 12, in our opinion. We just handed Texas a loss. Let's go figure out the rest of the season and get in that championship game and take care of our business. Because there is a scenario, because people thought Oklahoma State was sort of a fraudulent top 10 team going into play big bad Texas, the blue blood who's struggling. I think there are a lot of people that expected Oklahoma State to get exposed. I don't really think
they got exposed. Yeah.
You know, they if anything, they were validated as a really good team that just gave it away. And so I think you can take that and sort of build on that and hang your hat on the idea that you're still the best team in the Big 12. Let's go prove it.
And that's something that everybody is waiting to see is who will be that. Who's going to be that fourth team? When you see Alabama, I have Alabama as my number one. And you've watched Clemson. I'm not talking about what went on with Clemson yesterday without, mm-hmm. you know, Trevor Lawrence. But I think Alabama's been the best team. And I think they have the best resume right now. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've kind of been going back and forth on Clemson and Alabama, but obviously the past couple of weeks, Clemson has looked a little bit less than. Alabama seems to be getting better by the week. You know, I mean, coming off the Ole Miss game, you're wondering about Alabama's defense. You've got questions, but at this point, and I know Mike Leach hasn't been presented much of a challenge to the SEC after that first week against LSU, but you still shut him out for what I think the first time in his career.
Yes, I bet you they knew that. By the way, because they,
yeah.
There was so much like just love and affection being shown to Coach Leach when he came into the SEC. I guarantee you that he wanted to say something, that Nick Saban wanted to deliver a little message.
Welcome to Big Boy Ball here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could see that, and so I think with that, with the defense starting to play the way it is with the offense, I mean, that goes without any explainer there. I agree with you. I think Alabama is probably the toughest out right now in the country. But I do think that Ohio State has potential to get there, too. I mean, that was a really ho-hum, just boring walk in the park kind of win over Penn State. And I know it was a 13-point win, and that's not crazy. But there was never a moment where that game was in doubt. And Justin Fields is playing like he wants to be considered the top player in college football and the number one pick in the NFL draft, and he may just well be it. So I think Ohio State is going to have something to say about that over the course of the next few weeks as well.
And that's we're going to be watching all of that. Do you are you surprised it has gone as relatively smoothly as it has since they've been back from COVID? Are you surprised? The college football as a whole has gone as smoothly.
I think this is. I mean, hey, if you depending on who you talk to, it's not going smoothly. I mean, I think it's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I actually think that this is sort of the season that I anticipated. You're going to have some cancellations. You're going to have some disruptions here or there. But the games are going to get played, and I actually feel, the worst case scenario, I guess, was that things would start to spiral and the season would have to be sort of put on hold.
Sure. But
that seems like it's not going to happen, and so sure, like I think this is a good situation that we're in college football right now, given the alternatives and given what we're up against, and I think that things are in a good place, and any negativity that like kind of people want to toss around, because there's still some people that try to throw it at it.
Oh yeah, there is.
I think that that's misguided, because ultimately any of the disruption isn't about sort of people being having health issues. It's just about preventing health issues and all the preventative steps that are being taken. And so I feel pretty good about how things have played out.
It's been fun, and more important, I think it's a success story. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a success story, which is great. Now, you getting through your Sunday with three young ones running around your house, that would be a whole nother success story, and I wish you much success with that. They're going to be candied up. They're all candied up.
Last night's Halloween deal was people were just putting out bags of treats in their front steps instead of handing out single servings. So, yeah, we got a lot of recovering to do right now in this household.
Well, let's remember the waistline as you get a little older. It starts, so you got to be careful. Don't be chowing down too much, Bart. Thanks, man.
I'll be about that.
I appreciate it, buddy. Always fun. He's one of my favorites. Barton Sims is one of my favorites. Covering college football, CBS Sports HQ. Barton Simmons, Barrett Salee is sort of like 1-2 combos for any sport when you talk about people covering it. That's a pretty good combination.
You're entering a hysteria-free zone. Back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I'm so glad you're with us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. A show that absolutely believes you strive to find hope, positivity. And this week, it could have been hard for me, but I found a lot of it. But you remember during COVID? Remember the whole time throughout the dark end of the winter, the beginning of the pandemic? You remember the long days of the spring without sports? The entire spring without sports? You remember all the naysayers? It can't be done. Don't do it. It's not safe. It's not right. You're going to have people dying. How many dead players are you going to need to enjoy your sports? Remember that? You remember those people? You can find their tweets. You can find their statements. This one goes out to Buster at ESPN, who I love, Buster Olney. He's a great dude. But he totally got caught up in the mania. 0% chance that they start the 5% chance they start the season, 0% chance that they end it. 0% chance? Come on. We made it. Yeah, we made it.
Now's the time to say yes, we can.
Yes, thank you, Brock. That is the correct answer. And not trying would be the ultimate disgrace. Thank you for trying, NBA. Thank you for trying, NHL. Thank you for trying, Major League Baseball. Thank you for trying, NFL and college football, because you know what? We showed, once again, that everybody who tried to get you to pull the covers over your head, bolt your doors, and stay inside till 2021 were wrong. They were wrong.
Yes, we can.
We can.
Yes, we can.
Be responsible. Be safe. Don't be reckless. Try to be kind to your fellow Americans. But seriously, all the naysayers, all the gloom and doom folks, check on it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. Roger in South Bend, Indiana joins us. Roger, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. Now, Roger, are you South Bend, you do not have to change your clocks, right?
My phone does that automatically. I don't really have a clock on my wall.
But I thought South Bend didn't change. I thought Indiana didn't change the time.
There used to be a line. It's right down the street by about 20 miles west of here. The phones and the everything jams up.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. What's going on in South Bend today?
Well, you know, of course I'm calling from the home of Notre Dame.
Yes.
And you're asking for a fourth team in that position.
That could beat that in consecutive weeks. That in consecutive weeks could beat Alabama and Clemson or Alabama and Ohio State.
I want to work with this through you. It's kind of like a point and counterpoint back and forth.
Sure.
But I want to make some point because it seems like, and I hope to God, that you're not, you know, there's a lot more Notre Dame haters than there are lovers.
Okay. Well, I'm not a hater.
So
I mean, they're a really good team.
A person in your position might want to placate to the haters more because there's more haters than lovers.
Well, I don't use haters. I'm not a teenage girl, so I don't use the term haters. So I don't do that. What I'm telling you is this: Notre Dame's a very good football team. They can't beat Clemson and Ohio State in back-to-back weeks. They can't beat Clemson and Alabama in back-to-back weeks. They're not that caliber.
Okay, but let me ask you this. What coach is on the verge, possibly, of having four undefeated regular seasons in the last 10 or 11 years?
Yeah, not playing in a conference. I got you. Thanks for your call.
Whoa.
Roger. I'm not playing quiz radio. Not playing. What coach? Guess what? And what has Brian Kelly done? I'll hang up and listen. We've seen when we let Notre Dame into the party, not playing in a conference, when we let them into the party, what happens? They come to the party. Honestly, there's a baby Ruth floating in the punch bowl when they show up. Mike in Boise joins us. Mike, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good to have you on the show. What's going on, brother?
Well, I think you nailed it when you came back from the break. You were talking about hope, and I think that's what college football is about. I'm a Boise State fan, have been most of my life. And I think that there's a lot of college teams out there that they just want a chance.
Yes.
To compete.
Absolutely. So I'll let the fourth team have its chance. We don't need to have eight. We don't need an expanded playoff because right now no one can give me a legit fourth team that could beat the two teams they'd have to beat in the final two games. There's no need to just have teams there just to give them a participation trophy or a little ribbon that they can hang in the bookshelf. That's not necessary. It has to be legitimate.
Well, I agree with that, but I think the March Madness, you know, craze is a perfect example of what college football, I think, would like, you know, is that Cinderella chance to knock off that number one or number two seed. You know, that's a victory.
But you play a whole season. It's not like college basketball. It's a different – I appreciate your call. It's not like college basketball. You play a whole season to accomplish something, to have that opportunity to play for a championship. You don't need to water it down. At least that's always been my belief. Steve in Atlanta joins us. Steve, how are you? You're in the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks, John. Hey, it's great. It's Sunday morning. It's great to see Roger worshiping touchdown Jesus. Notre Dame's a joke.
Yes,
maybe
he is.
Maybe a team that could would be Georgia. And Georgia's going to get a chance to play Alabama in the SEC championship game. If they win that game, does Georgia get in and then a one-loss Alabama team get in?
Yes.
So
yes.
That might be your fourth team, although their pathway to winning would be Alabama, Ohio State, and then maybe Clemson again.
And they can't do that. If
JT Daniels comes back, they lost the game in Tuscaloosa because they're playing with a third-string quarterback. And if JT Daniels comes back, it'll be a completely different game this
time. Why is he not ready yet?
He's sick. I mean, he's not healthy. He can't go yet.
Well, I don't know how he'd be ready to go and be playing well at the biggest times. I mean, it's November the 1st. I just don't know if it's in the cards for JT this year. And I'm rooting for him to have a good time. So take care of yourself, buddy. Appreciate it. It's not easy. I mean, really, I understand this isn't easy, trying to figure out who that team's going to be. But the thing is, for Georgia, why I say Georgia's not even legitimate. So Georgia in their last game would mandatorily have to beat Alabama. So Georgia is then, I'm to believe they could beat Alabama, then beat Clemson, then beat Ohio State in three consecutive weeks? Hell no. That is not happening. That is not going to happen. I don't even have to contemplate that one, that's not happening. That is not going to end up being a scenario that works out for you there. I can tell you that. It's a shame for the Georgia fans, but it's not happening, I can tell you. Okay, let's get down to business. I have my luscious locks.
It's time for JK's Luscious Locks this NFL Sunday.
Okay, here are my luscious locks. And by the way, they've been, would I say bad, Anthony? Is that fair?
They've been bad.
They are 6. I'm 6-15 on the season. Yeah, that's rough.
They stink!
No, they don't stink. I actually had a winning week last week. And I'm going to dig out of this hole. I'm going to make sure that I dig out of this hole and get back to respectability. How about a 3-for-3 weekend, and it's going to be three favorites that I'm going to go with this weekend? I'll take the Bills -4.5 at home. Bills -4.5 against the Patriots. I think the Patriots will shoot themselves in the foot, and I think the Bills have been on a streak of not really playing at their best. I'll take the Browns -1 at home against the Raiders. Yes, Browns against the Raiders, yes. I'll take the Browns. And I'll take the Browns to be 6-2. How about that for you? Ken Carman will be happy with me. And then I'll take the Seahawks -3 at home against the 49ers. Yeah, that looks like a great game. It really does. I think the Seahawks are going to win this one, and I think they're going to end up winning it comfortably. 7 points, 10 points, comfortably. Bills -4.5, Browns -1, Seahawks -3. Those are my luscious locks here on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Anthony, if I can win 2 out of 3 today, I will be back to 33% in the season. I could be 8-16. I could be 8-16. And honestly, I just want to have another winning week. That's what I want to do. I'll put a brick in the wall, have another winning week, go 8-16, and then start to feel like I've dug myself out a little bit of this. A little bit of it. As we close out the show today, I would just like to thank you again, because last week, when I was leaving the show, I was telling you that I was going to get on a plane. And I was going to get on a plane and go see my mom. And honestly, in the course of the show, I had gone to work that morning here at the station, and I had not booked an airline ticket, and I had not even talked about going away. But something came over me and got me on that plane and got me home. And we had been told my mom had, could have had a couple months. She had a couple weeks. from diagnosis of a terminal diagnosis to death, my mom lasted 13 days. She died overnight on Tuesday morning. 3:41 a.m. 3:41, I'm going to look at that as a lucky number. When I'm looking for numbers again, I'm going to look at 557. My daughter was born at 557. I'm big into numbers. Got engaged on Cinco de Mayo, 5-5. Got married on 7-7. Got blessed. Got the marriage blessed in the church on 2-22. I'm obsessed with numbers. But the number one would be my most obsessed number right now. I give that number one to my mom. And you've heard her on the show many times before. And I can tell you that her impact on my life was by far number one. My dad died when I was young. My mom did double duty for the end of my teen years, which weren't always easy. And she was always my biggest supporter, my biggest backer. And I would not be anywhere without her. And I will tell you the story later on, how I think that everything that happens, happens for a reason. And I think it's strange how it all dovetails into what's been a crazy 2020 for me. Here's what I would suggest to you. You got a chance to love your mom, love your mom. You got a chance to call her on the phone, call her on the phone. You got a chance to give her a hug, give her a hug. I'll never get to do that again, but I'm actually okay with it. Because I said my goodbyes, I held her hand as she exited the world. And I feel like she's given me, I've laughed more this week, I've joked more this week, I've had more happiness than sadness. And that's what I wish for all of you this upcoming week. More happiness than sadness, more positivity, more belief that we can all do it together. And let's get through what's going to be a little bit of a crazy week. A lot of drama. We'll get through it all. And we'll be back here next Sunday. Anthony Piano's awesome. Seth Canner, you were great as usual. And I'll see you next Sunday for the John Kincaid Show. Thanks for joining me on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.